Turning now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 9. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 9. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And our subject is very simply, how to approach God. And I would like to deal with the subject as plainly as I possibly can this evening. Well, these are Christ's own instructions, God's own instructions as to how he may be sought and found. They're alarmingly simple, and yet they're entirely comprehensive, tell us everything we need to know, and profound. They follow the teaching of the pattern prayer of the Lord, given there in the earlier verses. And they follow the parable of the friend at midnight, which is about persistent and earnest pressing prayer. So they follow two passages about prayer and appeal to God. And so these words come in that context. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, one of the illustrations, if you like, which is implicit in these words, is that of the kingdom of God as a palace or a great and a noble building. This palace, if you like, represents coming into the kingdom of God, coming to know him, coming into touch with him, coming out of the cold, ceasing to be an outsider, living only in a material world, cut off from God, and coming in to his domain, into his companionship. So it's a picture of a great building or palace with some kind of an iron fortified door. If you found it, you wouldn't be able to get in by your own strength. But the trouble is finding it. We don't know where this building is when we're away from God. We don't know where this palace, this kingdom, is situated. We have not the remotest idea how to gain access to God, to seek him and to find him. That's the background picture. And we ask, how do I get there? How do I locate it? Well, the trouble is, we often don't ask that. We're not interested in it. And certainly there was a time years ago when I was a youngster, I wasn't interested in it, not the slightest bit interested. And when people tried to tell me about it, there was a possibility of walking with God, knowing him, coming into his kingdom, no more being an outsider. I treated it with contempt and indifference, had nothing for me at all. And that's the trouble with most of us for so much of our lives. And then God begins to work within us. And by the work of his Spirit, he puts within us a need to know and a concern. And it may come in different ways. It may start with unease, dissatisfaction in life, dissatisfaction with just a material, earthly life, and a certain concern that we need the Lord, that there is a spiritual realm, and we need to know about these things. We become unsettled, and we develop a desire to find out. We don't know how to find the kingdom of God, but we begin to want to know and to gain this longing and this urgency about it also. And that's where these words are spoken. Ask, seek, knock. Now the trouble is, when we begin to be concerned, we know by intuition, if we don't hear from some Bible teaching, that the occupant of this palace, the kingdom of God, is the creator of the world, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one glorious Godhead. one God in three divine persons. And he will be our judge at the end of life's journey. And that realization increases the need to have some knowledge of him and contact with him. He holds the keys to life and eternity for each one. At first we think to ourselves, well, I can work out how to find this kingdom. You say it's illustrated as a palace with a great fortified door. But I can find it. I can research into this. I can figure this out. If there is a God, where he is, how he may be reached, what I have to do to please him, what I have to do to know him. Perhaps I can find out and I can earn admission. But you can't. And this is the first thing from these words in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I say unto you, ask, seek, knock. You cannot figure this out for yourself, says the Lord. You must ask me. You must look to my word, the scriptures, to find out. This is knowledge that has to be revealed. I've published it in the Bible, he says. I will help you to understand, but you must ask. Never think, well, I can figure these things out. And once I've decided and can work out what God is like, I can earn his favor. You can't. It is impossible. So, says the Lord, you must listen to me, and you must desire to know, and you must ask what the way is. You see, there is a scheme. There is a plan of salvation. God has a way. We cannot know him. We cannot find him. He is holy. We are sinners. We fall so far short of his holy standards. We have mortal, human, finite minds. We cannot see into the will of God. He must explain his plans and the way of salvation to us, which is what he does in the Word of God, in this book of God, the Scriptures. We have to find out from there. And we find there is a scheme, and it's not vague. There is only one scheme and one way by which we can get access into this palace, the kingdom of God, and know the Lord and walk with him. You don't know it intuitively. You must find out about it from his word. You must ask. Ask, says the Savior. Ask. Asking is a humble thing to do. You come to God and you say, I don't know. I am a lost person. I am cut off from my God. Oh, Lord, show me, help me to understand. How can I find thee? How can I know thee? To ask is a humble thing. I renounce all my self-confidence and self-belief. I can find out. I can know. I can do it. Lord, show me. That's the beginning of approaching the Lord. Humility. You ask. You don't know. Whosoever willeth to do his will shall know of the teaching of the doctrine, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever willeth to do his will, the person whose heart is moved to say, Lord, show me your plan, what I must do, your terms, your conditions, help me to know the way into the kingdom of God. That's the beginning of it all. Some people think, oh, being a child of God, being a believer, surely that's easy. It's all so vague. You just somehow accept that he's there. Make a mental assent to the existence of God, and you'll know things mysteriously. No, it's not like that at all. There is a clear-cut way to find the Lord, and that's what we're asking after. That's what we seek to know. So asking is humble. Asking says, Lord, I'm teachable. I will listen. I will not ask irrelevant questions. I will not put up barricades. I will not squirm and twist this way and that. I will be teachable. I will listen to the word. I will take in what God teaches about how he may be found. And these are the words of the verse, ask and it shall be given you. The way to God is daunting when you read the Bible. If I can stay with pictures, the way to God is like working your way or battling through a forest with dense, tangled trees and undergrowth and infested jungle. How can you get through? You can't. That's the problem with making your way to God. It's like sailing a small vessel through tempestuous seas. Will you survive? Or will your vessel be filled with water and you sink and never survive? It's like reaching God. When you read the Bible, you discover it's like battling your way up a frozen mountain to an unreachable peak. What do these illustrations mean? To reach God, I've got to reach heights of holiness and perfection, and I cannot do it. It's far, far beyond me. I'm a sinful person. I've already offended against him through my life. How can I possibly attain to his standards of holiness? He who is perfect and holy, says the poet, oh, how can I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, before the ineffable appear, and on my naked spirit bear the uncreated beam. Why, I would be destroyed with just one sense of God's holy presence. I cannot get to him. I cannot reach him. I am lost. I need his help. That jungle, I need some means of getting through it. I need somebody to construct, let's use impossible language, a great highway which sails over the trees, the dense forest. That mountain to climb, I need a mountain pass. I can't get over it. I can't get to the top. I need some pass that will take me through the mountain range. That tempestuous sea, I need a massive and a safe vessel that can sail through that sea unharmed. And that's the plan of salvation. There is such a way through the impossible attaining of to God's standards, there is a Savior. This is the plan laid out in the Bible. God has sent his own Son, equal with himself the Father, equally God, equally wonderful, equally eternal. And he has taken upon himself human nature and entered into time. The Lord Jesus Christ, born in time, the incarnate God. And he has walked on earth and he has lived the most perfect holy life. So holy, he can deserve salvation for all his people. And he's died on Calvary's cross to take the punishment due to all those who would be forgiven in the history of the world. He has borne away the punishment of their sin on their behalf. He earns, satisfies the standards of God. He takes the wrath of God for my sin. As God, he could survive it. As man, he could feel every pang that I should have felt in my punishment to all eternity. What an amazing message and a wonderful thing. He is my highway right across the impenetrable jungle. He is my pass through the mountains. He is the great life-saving vessel that will take me through the murderous seas to have a Savior. One who came and died for me, who will change my life and lead me through and get me to heaven and to glory. That's the way of salvation. I need a Savior. Couldn't I have thought that this might be the case? No, no. I would think that if God were going to deal with me, I'd have to be worthy, I'd have to earn it, I'd have to do some good works, I'd have to please him somehow. Maybe he'd be so pleased with my going to church or doing some good deeds that he would reward me and forget about my sin. But that's the way I would think. That's why I need the Bible to reveal to me what God has really done, because my way would be hopeless. Remember, God is perfectly holy. I am a sinner. How will a few good deeds make up for all my sin lifelong? That would be no use at all. I need a Saviour. I need that mountain pass, that free passage. I need that highway over the impenetrable jungle and that vessel that will take me through the sea of life and through the day of judgment. Oh, friends, that's the plan of salvation, that a Saviour has come. And when I ask and I come to the Bible, this is what I learn. Says the Lord, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. You'll see the way. You'll see and you'll understand about Christ and how he can help and what he has done. And now the word seek, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. What's the difference? Well, let me try to express it this way. I ask, and I open my mind to the Bible, and I receive an understanding of the way of salvation. Christ is a Saviour who has atoned for those who come to him and died in their place so that they can be forgiven. My mind understands now a Saviour, an atonement when Christ went on Calvary. Pardon and forgiveness freely available for me. My mind understands, but what about my heart? Do I really desire it? Do I really see how urgent it is for me that I find the Lord, that I receive this salvation for myself? I've asked and my mind has been furnished with the information, but now will I align my heart and my desires and long for it and seek it and go after it and ask the Lord for it? I know it in my head, but do I feel my need in my heart and long for it? So I ask you this, if you understand the way, what does your heart say? Will you give your life to him? Will you leave the old life and plead with God to forgive you on the ground that you believe in Christ? Will you hand yourself over to him and ask for new life? Where is your heart in the matter? Your head has got the way, the plan, the scheme to be saved. But what does your heart say or feel? And the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ is this: I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. You've got the information. Seek, and ye shall find. Well, will you seek? Allow me to distinguish between these words. Will you acknowledge your sin? Will you say, like the prodigal of old, recorded in Luke 15, I will arise and go unto my father, and will say, Father, I have sinned against thee. Will you repent of your sin and humble yourself before him and see yourself as a squatter in this world with no rights, breathing God's air, eating God's food, taking God's time, the body that he's given you, the life that he's given you, and using it all for yourself and turning your back on him and ignoring him? Will your heart desire salvation, to be different by his power, to be changed by him, to be his child? Will you come to him and say, spiritually, Lord, I am in poverty, I'm a bankrupt, I have no experience of thee. I'm cut off from thee. I'm condemned, and I deserve to be condemned. Will you face the facts of all your sin, your pride, all your lies and deceit, perhaps your bad tempers, and not only the things you do and say, your selfishness, but your heart sins, your state, your condition, what you are before God, a proud, worldly, self-seeking person. Will you come to him and repent of that? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to acknowledge all these things. I'm not as bad as you say. I don't believe it. I believe there's good in me. Well, there probably is. There's some good in everyone. We thank God that God has kept some good in everyone, because if he didn't preserve by his hand, not your doing, some good, some kindness, some affection, some decency in everyone, the world would be utterly unbearable to live in. It's bad enough now. If God didn't preserve some good points in every human being, well, the world would destroy itself. It would be a hotbed of ugly conduct and insult and hate and cruelty. That's no thanks to us. It is God that preserves something in the human race. But the good is far outweighed by the bad when we come before God. Well, where's your heart? Oh, Lord, I need life. I desire a new life. I wish to be reconciled with thee. Oh, Lord, I understand now that a Saviour had to come. He will bring me home. He will stand for me. And because he died, I can be forgiven. But I long for this, Lord. Forgive me my sin. Help me. Give me a new life. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you'll find. So the heart must go with the mind and seek the Lord. Now I see the door. I see and I understand how to get to this palace, the kingdom of God. I see the door. It's barred against me. But I hear the promise of Christ that if I seek and if I knock, I shall get in. That door is my hope. If that door opens to me, I will get to heaven. If that door opens to me, I will be made a new person and given a new nature and a new outlook and everything. If that door opens to me, I shall be reconciled with my God, and I shall make great discoveries, and he will answer my prayers and bless me. If that door opens to me, I shall be the happiest person on the face of the earth. I understand the way of salvation with my mind, with my heart. I want to come through that door and be saved. Well, then, what's the third part of the verse? The great instruction, and it's so vital. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. There's now the knock, the application, the rap on the door, the knock on that door. My mind understands I must get into the kingdom. Christ died for sinners. I must have his forgiveness. The heart desires it and longs for it. I'm sincere. I'm earnest. Well, now I must knock. And how do I do that? Well, I pray, oh, Lord, open the door of salvation to me. Forgive me all my sins. Change my heart. Receive my life. O Lord, I trust in Christ alone. There is no goodness in me that will get me through this door. I trust in my Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who came and died for sinners. And I believe that even as he died in excruciating agony on Calvary's cross, bearing an unseen penalty, the punishment of my sin, bearing the wrath of God on my behalf, I believe that in the midst of that incomprehensible, indescribable agony, he could see me, unborn, me, 2,000 years into the future, and others like me, who would appeal to him and trust in him. And I believe he knew he was dying for me, as well as for billions of others. What a Lord and Saviour. Lord, forgive me and receive me and change me. That's the knock on the door. I give thee my worthless life. I give it over to thee. I will not be my own anymore. I will not rule myself anymore. I will not be me, 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 number one kind of person anymore. I will be thy servant and thy child and love thee and honour thee and live for thee by thy help. But Lord, take me and change me and forgive me. That's the knock on the door. That is coming to Christ. That is the great act. Ask and the knowledge shall be given you. Seek, align your heart to these things and desire and come sincerely and you will find. Knock, make that great application of faith. Lord, I believe and I repent and I yield and the door will swing open. That massive fortified door. Yet just a touch will open it if you come with a sincere heart and you long for Christ and you trust in him. And look at this verse, dear friends. Before you say to yourself, yes, but would the door swing open for me? It may swing open for millions of others, but how can I be certain that God will answer my prayer and change me and bring me to himself? How can I be certain? Just look at this verse. This is, well, we have a term for it. This is your warrant of faith. This is the promise of God that he will bless you. It's in these words. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. There is no question about it. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God, if you're sincere, will furnish your mind, receive your heart, and hear your prayer, and answer it from on high, and you will go into the kingdom. The door will open. Now, I misled you now, just now. I said the slightest touch will open the door. Well, that's true in a sense. The softest prayer, which is sincere, will open the door. Lord, forgive, receive, change me. Make me thy child. But actually, strictly speaking, it is not you that open the door. It will be opened unto you. God opens the door. Only he can receive you and change you. He will do it. He will certainly do it. But it is a divine act that wonderfully changes you, gives you a new nature, new desires, opens your mind, makes you aware that you're a child of God, and assures your heart so that you know he hears your prayers. And you just know that he's forgiven your sins and you're filled with a new love for him. Oh, you receive his blessing and the great change which takes place in your life. You're accepted by him. You're in the kingdom. You're now an insider and everything is new. A new creation. That's the meaning of the verse. That's how we may apply it. The words of Jesus Christ, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. When I was seeking the Lord, many, many years ago now, as a young fellow, well, I told you one moment I was not interested. Then I sneered at it. Then I treated it with contempt. And then something happened. I began to realize this message is true. I began to realize I wasn't the person I imagined I was. I saw and realized what a sinner and a hopeless and a weak specimen I was, and how far from God. And I began to feel anxiety, concern, and desire. Well, then I began to knock on that door and apply and ask God to forgive me and help me. And nothing happened. And so I did it more earnestly. But I was actually making a big mistake. And maybe I wouldn't have realized, but somebody just happened to give me a little booklet. Christian friend. I was very old. It was an account of his salvation by a man years and years before. But to my amazement, I read this. I read from this man how he had been seeking the Lord when he read a portion of Scripture and he grasped that he was willing himself into the kingdom of God. And I looked at this with astonishment. I realized, he said, I was not just being earnest. Something very subtle was going on. I was trying to will myself in, as though by screwing up my eyes and dint of emotional effort, I could put myself into the kingdom of God. And I realized that wasn't faith. I had to stop. Yes, be just as earnest, but wait upon the Lord. And tell Christ I trusted him, and I would trust him with my soul, and I would trust him entirely and utterly. And you know, I realize that's probably what I was doing. Almost trying to will myself into the kingdom of God. You can't do that. You can't do that. Trust him. Come to him. Spread out your hands. I am a lost and a hell-bound sinner, and I deserve it. Lord, forgive me. I am ashamed. I repent. I long for change. I long to know that I am accepted, that I am thine by Christ and what he has done for me. And I trust in him. And if you trust him and repent at the same time, trust that through his divine integrity, he will keep his promise, and the sincere seeker will be changed and will be received. That's the verse, dear friends. I read it to you again as we close. You take in every word. I say unto you, the infallible words of Christ, ask and it shall be given you. That is to say, ask for God's way of salvation. Ask what it is. Ask how it's brought about. Then seek. Align your heart to your knowledge. See your need and desire it with all your heart. And be ready to accept the terms, acknowledging your sin and your need, and that only Christ can purchase salvation for you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You lift up your hand to knock on this door. Why, that's you prepare your heart. You prepare your prayer. Then knock on the door. Perhaps it has a large knocker. Let it fall. Let the sound be heard. Appeal to God. Pray to him. I give myself to thee. Lord, take me and change me. Forgive me and save me. And mean it with all your heart, and he will. What will happen? The door will open. What does that mean? Does it mean you'll hear a clap of thunder? Does it mean there'll be a flash of lightning? Does it mean you'll hear a voice? Does it mean you'll see some vision? No, none of those things. None of those things. It means that you'll notice almost at once, before very long, God has touched your heart and your life. You're different. You've changed. You love him. You long to please him and to serve him. You know you must pray to him. You want to learn of him. You want to be with his people. You want to serve him. You depend upon him. You think of him. You've changed. You're not on the run anymore. You're not in darkness anymore. There's been a change in your life. A quiet, calm, but certain change. You're now his child, and he will assure you more and more and hear your prayers and draw you ever closer to himself. Ask, seek, knock, and you'll find him. Let's pray. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, help us this night. O Lord, help us to seek thee and to find thee. Make this a certain and unmistakable experience in many lives. Trouble us in our souls if we neglect thee, if we turn away. Prevent us from being so foolish as to throw away the kindness of our God and eternal salvation. O Lord, draw us to thyself. We ask it in our dear Saviour's name. For his sake, amen.